From the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, May 11th, 2021. Coming up this hour.
The tech-led sell-off spreads overseas with stocks in Japan plunging 3%.
More fallout from the pipeline shutdown as gas stations start running out of fuel.
Pfizer's COVID shot gains emergency use authorization for teenagers.
And Liz Cheney's fate in the Republican Party could be decided as soon as tomorrow.
New York City offers incentives for people to get vaccinated, plus a school shooting in Russia has left several students and a teacher dead. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. The Mets got good news on Jacob DeGrom. The Yankees play at Tampa Bay tonight. The Knicks visit the Lakers.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are lower to start the day. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 32 points, Dow futures down 185, NASDAQ futures down 173, 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 1.61%, and the yield on the two-year, 0.15%. The euro, 1.2167 against the dollar. Nathan.
Now, Karen, the tech-fueled sell-off shows no signs of slowing with declines in Europe and Asia overnight. Let's get the very latest from Bloomberg's Danny Berger in London. Good morning, Danny.
Nathan, the tech route is continuing today. It started with a 2.5% sell-off in the NASDAQ 100 yesterday, but it's filtered through. It's hitting Asia tech stocks this morning, followed by a broader sell-off in Europe. NASDAQ futures are still down about 1%, and it really is that inflation fear that's come roaring into the market. But this time around, it doesn't seem to be fueled by higher bond yields. They've been relatively calm. Instead, it's that climbing commodity price. It's the fears over wage inflation that have created this concern that we're seeing the market's highest flyers that can't continue their climb. In London, Danny Berger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Danny, thank you. We'll have more on the sell-off coming up when we speak live with Mohammed Alarian, Bloomberg opinion columnist and president of Queen's College Cambridge. That's coming up in 15 minutes from now on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Well, another major story we're following is the fallout from the shutdown of the largest U.S. gas pipeline. Colonial says service could be restored by the end of the week, but the impact at the pump could come much sooner. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the very latest. Renita?
Nathan, Colonial Pipeline is racing to recover from a cyber attack that's kept it shut since Friday. Gas stations along the East Coast from Virginia to Florida are beginning to run out of fuel. And the dwindling supplies come just as the nation's energy industry was preparing to meet stronger demand from summer travel. Now, depending on how long the disruption lasts, prices at the pump could spike, adding to concerns over inflation, just as commodity prices rise worldwide. Colonial says it expects it to substantially restore all services by the end of the weekend. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. The U.S. Energy Secretary is weighing in on the pipeline shutdown. Jennifer Granholm says the situation illustrates how at risk U.S. infrastructure is to hackers.
This issue of cyber attacks on our critical infrastructure, especially energy infrastructure, is not going away. This is a serious example of what we're seeing across the board in many places, and it tells you that we need to invest in our systems.
Energy Secretary Granholm spoke with David Westin on Bloomberg's Balance of Power. You can catch the program weekdays at noon Eastern on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
There's also political fallout from the pipeline shutdown. President Biden says Russia must shoulder some of the blame for the attack after news that ransomware made by a group called DarkSide was used by hackers. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has details.
President Biden says the DarkSide web operates in Russia.
So far, there is no evidence based on from our intelligence people that Russia is involved, although there is evidence that the actor's ransomware is in Russia. They have some responsibility to deal with this.
Meanwhile, several U.S. agencies and private cybersecurity firms were able to blunt part of the attack, the part that would send stolen data about operations to its final destination, which they say is Russia. The report says the intervention occurred at servers that were being used in the U.S. to transfer the data. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And thank you. Meantime, another political showdown is center stage in D.C. GOP Representative Liz Cheney could learn her fate within the Republican Party as soon as tomorrow. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy told GOP colleagues to anticipate a vote Wednesday on whether to oust Representative Liz Cheney as their third-ranking party leader. Cheney has been an outspoken critic of former President Trump, and McCarthy and House Republican Whip Steve Scalise have already backed Representative Elise Stefanik to replace Cheney as chair of the House Republican Conference. McCarthy says the GOP is a big tent party, even as he announced tomorrow's vote on removing Cheney from her leadership post. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thanks. Turning to the pandemic now, there's encouraging news on the vaccination front. U.S. regulators have cleared the way for the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine to be used in 12 to 15 year olds. That paves the way for mass vaccinations before the start of summer camps and the school year. Teens could start getting shots as soon as Thursday.
Pandemic aid is also front and center, as some blame stimulus measures for Friday's disappointing jobs report. Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan says the data does not change his upbeat outlook for the labor market.
We still think the trend is going to be a strong job growth and recovery, particularly as leisure and hospitality sectors and others open up. I just think we have to be prepared. It's going to be a little unpredictable and in fits and starts.
Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan spoke with Bloomberg's David Westin. He says a shortage of affordable child care plus enhanced unemployment benefits are likely behind the slowdown in hiring.
Former Boston mayor and current labor secretary Marty Walsh is also weighing in on the jobs market. He thinks enhanced benefits are not to blame for Friday's weak jobs numbers.
I think at the end of the day, people would much prefer to be working. Getting benefits, maybe a 401k, pension, whatever the employer offers, health care, and the ability to earn money. I don't think anybody wants to be staying home. I know that most people want to go to work.
Labor Secretary Walsh made those comments on Bloomberg Bay State Business, heard weekday afternoons on Bloomberg 106.1 in Boston. S&P futures right now down 28 points. Dow futures down 147. NASDAQ futures leading the declines this morning. They're down 162 points. This is Bloomberg. And at 5:07 on Wall Street, we bring in Michael Barr for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City is coming up with new ways to entice people to get vaccinated. Governor Andrew Cuomo says there will soon be pop-up vaccination sites at subway and commuter rail stations in the system. Cuomo says anyone who gets a shot at a participating MTA hub will get a free 7-day Metro card or 2 free one-way trips aboard the Long Island Railroad or Metro North.
It is a creative idea. We're trying many creative ideas because we have to get that vaccination rate up.
Governor Cuomo says the sites are set to be open tomorrow through Sunday. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city is offering more incentives for people to get their vaccination shots.
Free tickets to some of New York City's most iconic attractions. You'll get them when you get vaccinated. We're talking about the New York Botanical Garden, the New York City Aquarium, the Brooklyn Botanical Garden, the Bronx Zoo.
De Blasio says others taking part in the new incentive program include the Lincoln Center and the Public Theater. The mayor says more than 7 million New Yorkers have received doses of the COVID-19 vaccine. Brooklyn Borough President and mayoral hopeful Eric Adams says crime in New York City's subways is making too many residents hesitant to return to mass transit and preventing the city's comeback from the pandemic. Adams called on Mayor Bill de Blasio and other public officials to increase police in the subway stations ahead of the May 17th resumption of 24-hour service. The NYPD says shootings and violent crime rose by 166% in April from a year ago. Meanwhile, the New York Times endorsed former City Sanitation Commissioner Catherine Garcia for mayor. The primary is June 22nd. A school shooting erupted this morning in the Russian city of Kazan, leaving at least 8 students and a teacher dead. According to reports, 2 gunmen opened fire in the school. One of them, a 17-year-old, has already been apprehended. The Pentagon says a Coast Guard ship accompanying a guided missile submarine and other vessels near the Strait of Hormuz fired warning shots after a group of 13 Iranian fast boats got close. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby.
It is a choke point in the region, so it's not insignificant. That this kind of dangerous, unsafe, and unprofessional incident behavior occurred there.
Kirby says the fast boats got as close as 150 yards. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. Just about 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Nathan. Yesterday was the anniversary of the Knicks beating the Lakers and winning the 1973 NBA championship. They haven't won one since. Some have called tonight's game in L.A. the biggest Knicks-Lakers game since then. Both teams 38-30 for the Knicks. That's good for fourth place in the East. They're trying to stay there. Lakers sit seventh in the West, which means the defending NBA champs would have to be in the play-in tourney. LeBron James plans to play tonight. The only his third game in the last 7 weeks. Atlanta last night, 1-point win over Washington. In the loss, Russell Westbrook broke the record. Most triple-doubles in a career, 182. One more than Oscar Robertson.
Put so much into the game. Put so much time. You sacrifice so much to put into the game and to be able to just be mentioned with guys like Oscar and Magic and Jason Kidd and those guys. It's just something that I never I dreamed about as a young kid growing up in L.A.
Russell Westbrook, good win for Golden State last night. They beat league-leading Utah. The Islanders lost their regular season finale in Boston, 3-2 in overtime. The Isles now get ready to face Pittsburgh in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Devils' season ended with a 4-2 loss at Philadelphia. The Mets have put Jacob deGrom on the 10-day injured list in abundance of caution. The MRI on his right side was clean, no structural damage. Mets host Baltimore tonight. They'll face the Orioles' John Means, who last time out threw a no-hitter. Yankees begin a 10-game road trip at Tampa Bay. 1-5 versus the Rays. 5-18 over the last two seasons, but Luke Voit expected to be in the lineup tonight for the first time. Led the majors in home runs last season. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. S&P futures down 26 points at the moment. Dow futures down 118. NASDAQ futures lower by 157 points. Mohammed Alarian of Bloomberg Opinion joins us next on The Economic Outlook. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the New York Community Trust. Your name will live on as a champion of the causes you care about for years to come through a charitable bequest to the New York Community Trust. Learn more at give2.nyc.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. A technology-led sell-off that started on Wall Street is reverberating across the world as worries over inflation pushes investors to dump expensive stocks. The dollar is erasing its gains and futures are falling. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 25 points, Dow futures down 111, NASDAQ futures down 156, the DAX in Germany is down 1.9%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 1.61%, the yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.7% or 43 cents at $64.49 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $2.40 at $18.35.20 an ounce. The euro, 1.2164 against the dollar. The yen, 108.87. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Russian media report at least 9 people have been killed and 4 wounded in a school shooting in the city of Kazan. According to reports, 2 gunmen opened fire in the school this morning. One of them, a 17-year-old, has been arrested. Palestinian militants have launched dozens of rockets from Gaza, and Israel unleashed new airstrikes against them. The escalation was triggered by soaring tensions in Jerusalem. Dozens were killed in Gaza overnight. In Major League Baseball, the Orioles beat the Red Sox 4-1. The Giants won. In the NBA, the Wizards lost. The Warriors won. In the NHL, the Flyers beat the Devils 4-2. The Bruins skated past the Islanders 3-2 in overtime. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan?
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's bring in our guest this morning. We're very pleased to be joined by Mohammed Alarian, president of Queen's College Cambridge, chief economic advisor at Allianz, of course, a columnist for Bloomberg. Bloomberg Opinion. Dr. Elarian, it's great to have you on with us this morning. And I want to start, if I could, with the inflation concerns we're seeing in markets. We're seeing the tech-led sell-off continue in equities this morning. Five-year break-evens are up to their highest level in more than a decade and a half. What do you make of the worries we're seeing from investors when it comes to the risk of inflation?
Good morning, Nathan. Thank you for having me. I think the inflationary concerns are warranted. I've been saying it for a while. They're warranted because there are many things fueling it. First, higher commodity prices. Second, a red-hot economic recovery. Third, company after company have pointed to increasing input costs and the ability to pass on those higher costs into prices. So whether you look at the micro indicator or the macro indicator, they suggest that inflationary pressures are building up, and they go beyond, I want to stress that, they go beyond the base effect and what would be purely transitory.
So you see these inflationary pressures as more persistent than transitory. That is your view?
I do. I think we are seeing a structural change both on the demand side and on the supply side. On the demand side, you're not hearing many people talk anymore about the deficiency of aggregate demand. We have massive public demand going on. Private sector households, on average, have better balance sheets. Their saving rates have temporarily gone up. They seem able and willing to spend. So it's hard to argue that you have a problem on the demand side. On the supply side, the ability of the supply side to respond has been hampered by underinvestment over the last few years. So it's part of this will be persistent.
Of course, the view from the Fed, the consistent message we've been getting from the Fed is that they see any inflationary pressures as transitory. And if there is some signs that it could persist, that they have the tools to deal with it. What is the Fed getting wrong?
So they have stuck to that view. And a lot of us have been hoping that the Fed will show somewhat more of an open mindset, because there's so many changes going on in the economy that it's hard to have the amount of conviction they have about how transitory that inflation surge is going to be. They acknowledge that there will be an inflation surge, but they focus on temporary factors, the base effects, and a very temporary mismatch of demand and supply. So I think it's important for the Fed to be more open-minded about this. But unfortunately, because of their new framework, which is outcome-based, they really have no choice but to persist with the transitory narrative for a while.
I'll let you finish your thought.
Now, as to whether they can respond quickly or not, the fear is that either the market will start tightening conditions for them, and you see that happening today with equity prices down and yields up, or alternatively, that by the time they realize that inflation may not be as transitory as they hoped it would be, they have to slam the brakes. That's a concern that people have.
How hot do you think the Fed will allow inflation to run before they start to move on policy?
Hot. I mean, they've told us very clearly that they've become outcome-based, that they want several months of readings of above 2%, because after all, they are targeting average inflation. You've had Fed speakers on Bloomberg to say that we won't know until the end of this year or the beginning of next year. And that's a little bit what the market is worried about, that by the time you know, it's not going to be that easy to soft land the economy.
We're speaking with Mohamed Elarian, president of Queen's College Cambridge and a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Want to get your opinion, Dr. Elarian, on the disappointing April jobs report. Why do you think economists missed the mark on how job growth was going to look in the month of April?
So I think there's two elements. One is there may have been some seasonality issues, so data issues that would work out over time. But I think the bigger issue, Nathan, is that economists focus on the demand side of the labor market. And what they picked up is massive demand for hiring. That was consistent with other data points like the JOLTS series. And what economists have been surprised by is the supply side. It turns out that the labor market was not able to match workers to an ample demand for them. Now, there are several reasons for that that have been advanced. We don't know quite which one it is. They go from the unemployment insurance benefits being too generous, the fact that schools are still closed, hampering some people from re-entering the labor force, childcare issues, or maybe even skill mismatches. So it's not clear what on the supply side is the problem, but what is clear is this is not a demand issue, this is a supply issue.
It seems as though President Biden made some effort to address some of those supply side concerns.
Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower after yesterday's sell-off, which saw the Nasdaq drop more than 2.5%. Now the pain is spreading overseas. Let's get the recap from Bloomberg's Annabelle Droolers in Hong Kong. Good morning, Annabelle.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Inflation fears, they certainly hit the tech sector in Asia this Tuesday. We saw the Hang Seng Tech Index off as much as 4% at one point, and the heavyweights like Tencent, Alibaba, big declines there. Now, among the major markets, it was Japan that led the losses for us. It closed 3% to the downside. The Australia and Korea, they both retreated from their record highs. In Hong Kong, I'm Annabelle Droolers, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Annabelle, thank you. Another major story we're following is the fallout from the shutdown of the largest U.S. gas pipeline. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the very latest. Renita?
Nathan, Colonial Pipeline is racing to recover from a cyber attack that's kept it shut since Friday. Gas stations along the East Coast from Virginia to Florida are beginning to run out of fuel. And depending on how long the disruption lasts, prices at the pump could spike. That would add to concerns over inflation, just as commodity prices rise worldwide. Colonial says it expects to substantially restore all service by the weekend. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. Turning to the pandemic now, there's encouraging news on the vaccine front. U.S. authorities have cleared Pfizer's COVID shot for use in teenagers. We get more from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
It paves the way for mass vaccinations of middle and high school students before the next school year. The FDA's original emergency use authorization has been expanded to include those 12 to 15 years of age. A group of advisors to the CDC will soon make recommendations. Cases of COVID-19 in adolescents tend to be milder. However, kids can still spread the disease. The younger population in the U.S. has been responsible for a growing proportion of total infections, but this also reflects a greater number of vaccinations in adults. I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. And on the corporate front, Tesla is halting plans to buy land in Shanghai. That's according to Reuters, which says the pause is due to rising tensions between the U.S. and China. Tesla had planned to expand its Shanghai plant to turn it into a worldwide export hub.
And let's check Tesla shares this morning. They're down about 3.7% in early trading, and futures are also lower this morning, with S&P futures down about 28 points, Dow futures down 140, NASDAQ futures down 163, 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 1.61%, the yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is lower, down 0.7% or 46 cents at $64.46 a barrel, and COMEX gold is little changed at $1,837.20 an ounce. The euro, 1.2165 against the dollar. British pound, 1.4131. And the yen is at 108.85. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. There's a new incentive for people who ride the MTA in New York City and outlying areas. Governor Andrew Cuomo says there will soon be pop-up vaccination sites at subway and commuter rail stations in the system.
Get a shot and take a free ride on the MTA. You get a free 7-day Metro card for everyone vaccinated at a subway station, and LIRR Metro North, 2 free one-way trips anywhere in the service area.
Governor Cuomo says vaccination rates are dropping and it's important to get them back up. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says they are offering free tickets to city attractions in exchange for people to get vaccinated.
A membership to the public theater, the extraordinary public theater,
Events at Lincoln Center. All these things are free when you get vaccinated. Tickets to Brooklyn Cyclones games, tickets to NYCFC, professional soccer, New York City Football Club.
De Blasio says other attractions participating in the incentive program include the Bronx Zoo. The New York Times endorsed former City Sanitation Commissioner Catherine Garcia for mayor. According to the Times, Garcia best understands how to get New York back on its feet. The primary is June 22nd. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy has set a vote for tomorrow for removing Representative Liz Cheney from her number three Republican leadership post. The move comes after Cheney repeatedly challenged former President Trump's false claim that his November election was stolen from him. Cheney also criticized Trump's role in encouraging supporters in the January 6th attack on the Capitol. A school shooting erupted this morning in the Russian city of Kazan, leaving at least seven students and a teacher dead. Russia's state news agency reported two gunmen opened fire in the school. One of them, a 17-year-old, has already been apprehended. There were moments of tension in the Strait of Hormuz between warships belonging to the U.S. and Iran. Officials say six U.S. warships accompanying the submarine USS Georgia through the strait were approached by 13 of Iran's fast attack boats, Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby.
This group of fast attack boats approached the U.S. formation at high speed, closing in as close as 150 yards.
Kirby said one of the U.S. ships fired 30 warning shots from a machine gun before the Iranian boats diverted. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It's 5:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashar.
Thanks, Nathan. The Yankees clearly playing better lately. 12 wins in the last 17 games. But can they beat Tampa Bay? They are 1-5 versus the Rays. 5-18 against them over the last two seasons. Tonight's game starts a 10-game Yankee road trip. Yankees and Rays are in a virtual tie. Both are three games behind the Red Sox, who lost last night in Baltimore. The Orioles are now in New York. They'll start John Means tonight against the Mets. Last week, Means through a no-hitter. The MRI on Jacob deGrom's side came back clean, no structural damage, but the Mets being cautious with their ace, they put deGrom on the 10-day injured list. Knicks tonight end a six-game road trip, their final road game of the regular season. They just won in L.A. over the Clippers. Now they face the Lakers, who are expected to have LeBron James. He's only played twice the last 7 weeks. Those were both Laker losses. LeBron hasn't won a game since March 18th. Atlanta won last night by one over Washington, but in the loss, Russell Westbrook, a triple-double, 182nd of his career. Westbrook breaks the all-time record held since Oscar Robertson retired in 1974. Season over for the Devils. They lost 4-2 in Philadelphia. The regular season over for the Islanders, a 3-2 overtime loss in Boston. The Isles now get ready to face Pittsburgh in the playoffs. The Preakness is Saturday, and Medina Spirit, who as of now is still the Kentucky Derby winner, will be in it, though trainer Bob Baffert's not expected to attend. They are doing more testing to see if the horse had too high traces of a steroid. If so, Medina Spirit's Derby win will be taken away. Tim Tebow's last NFL game was as a Jet in 2012. Since then, he's been a Mets minor leaguer, but Tebow plans to sign with Jacksonville, try to make it as a tight end. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Thank you.
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Many New York City taxi cabs were idle for most of the pandemic, but they're getting ready to roll once again as COVID restrictions ease. Dow Jones reports more cabs entering an inspection facility in Queens have a taxi medallion. Many drivers put medallions in storage during the coronavirus pandemic to save on costs. Some New Jersey lawmakers are responding to New York's plan to charge motorists an additional toll for entering Midtown Manhattan. They've proposed charging non-New Jersey motorists an additional fee when they cross from New Jersey into New York on toll bridges and tunnels. Connecticut officials Monday proposed an additional $280 million in funding for nursing homes. It's an effort to avoid strikes by about 4,000 healthcare workers. Governor Ned Lamont's budget director has sent letters to the labor union and industry officials outlining the plan. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WFLA in Orlando, I'm reporting that diners are returning to restaurants, with sales surging in April from a year ago.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Tyson Foods says it's struggling to meet chicken demand because of labor shortages.
I'm Caroline Hepcom, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We are reporting that for the first time in 14 months, England reported no deaths from coronavirus in the past 24 hours.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about the backlog of cargo ships waiting for entry into Los Angeles and Long Beach.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Ford Motor Company unveils its F-150 Lightning pickup May 19th.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. We're also tracking new data out of Asia this morning. China's factory gate prices surged more than expected in April. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
Prices were supported by gains in commodities and a low base of comparison from last year. The PPI rose 6.8% from a year earlier, beating an estimate of 6.5%. Consumer inflation remained relatively subdued. Prices increased 0.9% on year, slightly below the estimate. The savage jump in commodities has stoked inflation concerns around the world. And China's rising PPI is another risk as manufacturers pass on these higher prices to retailers. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. S&P futures down almost 29 points now. Dow futures down 153. NASDAQ futures lower by 166 points. More on the jobs outlook coming up from Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit them anytime at mynycb.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. A technology-led sell-off that started on Wall Street is reverberating across the world as worries over inflation push investors to dump expensive stocks. The dollar erasing gains. Futures are falling. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 29 points. Dow futures down 143. NASDAQ futures down 173. The DAX in Germany is down 2.1%. CAC in Paris down 2%. And the FTSE 100 down 2.1%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32. Yield 1.61%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.6% or 40 cents at $64.53 a barrel. COMEX gold is little changed, up $1.30 at $1,838.90 an ounce. The euro, 1.2166 against the dollar. British pound, 1.4137, and the yen, 108.86. Today we're watching for reports on small business optimism out in about 12 minutes from now. At 10, it's the JOLTS Jobs Report. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. A school shooting erupted this morning in the Russian city of Kazan. Russian officials say 8 people, including students, were killed and 21 others were hospitalized with wounds. The governor said the teenage shooter has been arrested. Israel has unleashed new airstrikes on Gaza, hitting the high-rise home of a Hamas field commander and 2 border tunnels dug by militants. Meanwhile, Hamas and other armed groups fired dozens of rockets toward Israel. The escalation was sparked by weeks of tensions in contested Jerusalem. Gaza health officials said that 24 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza. Gas stations are already reporting signs of a gas shortage after the shutdown of the Colonial Pipeline. For example, a handful of gas stations in North Carolina claim they've run out of fuel just days after the pipeline's ransomware attack. In Major League Baseball, the Orioles beat the Red Sox 4-1. The Giants won. In the NBA, the Wizards lost. The Warriors won. In the NHL, the Flyers beat the Devils 4-2. The Bruins skated past the Islanders in overtime 3-2. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks very much. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager. The Fed is weighing in now on last Friday's weak jobs data for April. The numbers may have been disappointing, but they don't change the upbeat outlook for the economic recovery. That's according to Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan. He discussed the non-farm payrolls report with David Westin on Bloomberg's Balance of Power. Let's listen in to some of that conversation with Robert Kaplan now.
So let's come back to the jobs numbers from Friday. A lot of people were very disappointed. As you know, the survey was sort of 1 million, came in at 266,000. Where was the problem? Why was it so short? What is keeping people from coming back to work? Because there seems to be demand for them.
This is a contrast to the Great Recession, where we had a very slow recovery because of sluggish demand. Households weren't spending. In the current situation, we've got substantial demand. Households are spending. But what we're seeing from our contacts across the board is supply issues. And my team, to their credit, had warned me for the 2 weeks leading up to this report that there was a meaningful chance it could be disappointing, because our estimate is something like 2 million 55-year-old and above workers have either retired on schedule or accelerated their retirement. Got 1.5 million working mothers that are home with their kids. Lack of childcare, school reopening is an issue. And yeah, we are hearing broadly employers are trying to hire, but they're struggling to compete with unemployment benefits. And then the last thing we're hearing from goods companies is they're cutting back production runs because they lack inputs. And they've even done some temporary layoffs, they've been telling us.
I suspect that any of these decisions, whether to go back to work or not, are influenced by several factors, not just one factor. But talk about the unemployment insurance specifically. Does the impetus for enhanced unemployment insurance really fade? I think we want people to go back to work now, don't we?
You know, if you go back 6 months or more, obviously, or even 3 months, there were a number of sectors that hadn't yet reopened. And a number of their workers didn't have the option to come back. As sectors reopen, for example, dining, we're unusual in Texas. We are now exceeding pre-pandemic levels. But still, movie theaters are just starting to reopen. I know in other parts of the country, New York, restaurants are just starting to fully reopen. You want to help people that have lost their jobs. But as we more fully reopen and we want to incentivize people to come back either to the jobs they left or to other jobs, contacts are telling me this is a real issue.
One of the numbers that people paid attention to that we got Friday was actually the increase in wages, how much people were making. Given that need to get those people off the sidelines, are we looking at possible wage inflation just around the corner?
We're hearing across the board for unskilled workers as well as skilled workers, but notably unskilled workers. Businesses tell us they're either offering higher wages, but that's not doing it to get people back. And they're offering bonuses, you know, signing bonuses. And even with that, I think based on our work, you would have seen a much greater hiring than we saw if they were able to lure more workers. In other words, the demand from these businesses to hire is greater than you saw in the growth in employment there.
And that is the president of the Dallas Federal Reserve Bank, Robert Kaplan, speaking with David Westin on Bloomberg's Balance of Power. You can catch the show weekdays at noon Eastern on Bloomberg Radio and Television and listen to the full interview with President Kaplan online at Bloomberg.com. Karen?
Nathan, thank you. It's 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for our Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute, resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
New York State will require that all students enrolled in public colleges and universities be fully vaccinated for the coronavirus in order to attend classes in person. Lawyers say employers can make vaccination mandatory, but they must not ask questions that go beyond what is necessary to safely administer the vaccine. Alabama and Mississippi are the latest states to announce they will cut off federal pandemic unemployment benefits ahead of schedule. It's a response to business complaints about workers refusing available jobs.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now another legal story. We're watching Derek Chauvin and the three other former police officers involved in the death of George Floyd have been indicted by a federal grand jury for violating Floyd's constitutional rights during his arrest. For more on the case and the charges, June Grasso speaks to Bloomberg legal reporter Eric Larson.
We often hear about federal charges being brought when state charges fail, for example, in the Rodney King case. But here you have Chauvin already convicted of murder. The other officers haven't even gone to trial yet. Is it unusual to bring federal civil rights charges at this stage?
Well, I think we're seeing that this entire case is unique in a lot of different ways, just because there have been so many instances of this kind of interaction between police and black men not resulting in this type of action, right? So just the fact that they brought these charges at all is very different here, especially when you see these charges being brought against officers who were not accused of, you know, murder the way Chauvin was. They're accused of serious violations simply by not taking any action to intervene. So that makes it pretty unusual. And I think to your point about federal charges being brought on top of successfully argued state charges, it just shows a signal, really, from the Justice Department, from the Biden administration, that there is a change of tone in how these types of incidents are going to be handled by the federal government.
And why is there a separate indictment of Chauvin? What is that for?
This stems from a separate incident between Chauvin and a 14-year-old black boy in 2017. He was the responding officer to a dispute between this boy and his mother. When the boy did not follow his instructions, Chauvin struck him so violently that stitches were necessary. He essentially choked him, strangled him until he passed out, and also had his knee on him to hold him in place for quite some time, even longer than what happened with Mr. Floyd. So obviously, it would be a good question to find out why it has taken so long, why you had to have this much higher profile murder take place for this incident to come to light. Clearly, the details around it would have already been known to a lot of people for several years now, and nothing happened. But at any rate, the charges have been brought now, and he is accused of violating the civil rights of that boy as well.
And that's Bloomberg legal reporter Eric Larson speaking with June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Futures this morning falling. S&P futures down 29 points. Dow futures down 145. NASDAQ futures down 170, and NYMEX crude oil is down 0.6%. And our top stories are straight ahead as Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, May 10th, 2021. Coming up this hour.
Oil and gas climb after a cyber attack puts a U.S. pipeline out of action.
Dr. Anthony Fauci says the number of COVID deaths has been widely undercounted.
The battle over the future of Liz Cheney and the Republican Party comes to a head this week.
And a wild ride for Dogecoin following Elon Musk's Saturday Night Live appearance.
The search continues for the man who shot three innocent bystanders in Times Square. Plus, Palestinians clash with Israeli police at a Jerusalem holy site. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Knicks beat the Clippers. A sweep for the Mets and another walk-off win for the Yankees.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.